Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Two deputies who were shot by a murder suspect are improving as questions increase about the circumstances surrounding the shooting.
And it's a warm afternoon. We have one more day after today, and then things begin to change. I'll show you when the cool air and some rain arrives.
And five GOP presidential candidates take the debate stage tonight to spar over issues ranging from the economy to the Israel-Hamas war. This is a live look right now in Florida, and we'll have a preview of tonight's debate.
Frustration, anger, heartbreak. Families, neighbors, and coworkers are dealing with all three as two Robeson County Sheriff's deputies remain in the hospital. Hello, everyone. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. Thanks for joining us. The men were shot yesterday while trying to serve a warrant to a man in Maxton. WRAL's Eric Miller has been digging into this and brings us an update on their condition and the investigation. Eric.
Jeff, just in the last few minutes, we got new information from the Robeson County Sheriff's Office. We're told Sheriff Wilkins was actually here this morning visiting both deputies here at the Cape Valley Medical Center along with his command staff. We're told those two deputies who were shot, they are awake, alert, talking, and in good spirits this morning as they continue to recover from those terrible events yesterday. Now, of course, this all played out in Maxton in Robeson County yesterday. It's all started, according to the sheriff's office, when those two deputies, Kaylin Locklear, as well as Jonathan Walters, tried to serve a warrant to a Sean Locklear. Again, no relation to the deputy there. Sean Locklear was out on bond for a slew of charges, including first-degree murder, and had cut off his ankle monitor. When the deputies got out there to that scene, the sheriff's office says Locklear ran into the woods. There was an exchange of gunfire, and all three men were hit. The sheriff's office says Locklear then stole one of the deputy's vehicles and drove over Walters. Now, Sean Locklear was taken into custody yesterday. He's being treated at UNC Hospital and will face eight additional charges when he's released there, including attempted first-degree murder. Again, the question that we have heard so many times today, whether you're talking to people from the sheriff's office, whether you're talking to the families of the two deputies shot, was how exactly was this allowed to happen when you had a man like Sean Locklear, who was out on bond for so many serious charges? How could this happen? Again, that's a question we're continuing to take to officials today, and we expect to hear more from those families, including Deputy Locklear's father, later today. We'll bring you updates as soon as we get them. Jeff?
Big questions they are. Eric Miller, live for us this noon in Robeson County. Eric, thank you.
A teenage driver faces charges in connection with a head-on collision involving a minivan and a pickup truck. It happened around 8 this morning in Johnston County along Smith Road between Clayton and Four Oaks. The Highway Patrol says the 17-year-old driver crossed the center line, hitting the minivan. Investigators say none of the children was buckled into seatbelts or car seats. One child was thrown from the van and has serious injuries. The mother and two other children were also injured. Neither the 17-year-old driver nor his passenger were hurt. Durham police are investigating two separate crime scenes that left three people hurt. Officers received a shot spotter alert in the 900 block of East Main Street. When officers got there, they found a man with a gunshot wound on Dale Street. Officers found two more shooting victims in the 1100 block of East Main Street. All three are being treated at Durham area hospitals for non-life-threatening injuries. No word yet on a motive, arrest, or the victims' names.
Once again, our temperatures are well above normal today. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRL Severe Weather Center with a look at how many more days this warmth might hang around.
If this is your thing, enjoy it today and tomorrow. And then it's gone for a while, but I'll show you why it may not be gone for the whole month. Right now it's 75 degrees. We have an east wind, blue skies, and it just feels fantastic out there. Our dew point is nice and low, so just a gorgeous day. 77 in Southern Pines and Fayetteville, 77 in Clinton, mid-70s in the Triangle, 70 degrees in South Hill. We're looking at temperatures running just a couple of degrees above where they were this time yesterday. We're looking at a high of 78, could end up at 80. If we hit 80, we would tie the previous record set back in 1986. We do have a wind coming out of the north and east, which could keep our temperature down just a little bit, which is why we're going with 78. But tomorrow, that moves out. More warmth streams in, 81 for tomorrow. But the record tomorrow is 83, set back in 2005. We get to late Thursday. A front comes through that'll drop our temperatures for Friday and the weekend. It'll also bring us a little bit of light rain on Friday. We'll walk you through and show you how much you could see. Coming up, Brian.
Elizabeth, I've been watching some delays this morning into the afternoon here on 64 eastbound, heading away from Knightdale out toward Wendell and Zebulon. A little bit of a traffic alert for you to keep in mind. They are doing some construction on 64 eastbound right around the Lizard Lick Road interchange, and that left lane is blocked, and we are seeing some big delays. I'm going to take you to that live sensor map, and you can see where those backups begin on 64 eastbound, right around that I-87-64 business interchange. It's slow all the way out to Lizard Lick Road. If you're trying to get to Zebulon from Knightdale this afternoon, consider taking 64 business to 97 and then use 97 to head on into Zebulon. That's going to save you at least 5 minutes. The DOT says that construction should wrap up around 3:30 this afternoon.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, I want to take you live out to Texas, where a massive fire is burning at a chemical plant. This is in Shepherd, which is about an hour north of Houston. They have their chopper live over the scene right now. Look at the amount of smoke coming from this. A shelter-in-place order is in effect for everybody living within a mile of this. The flames erupted at this chemical plant earlier this morning. They say one plant employee was injured in the fire. This is a developing story. I'll stay on top of this and bring you any updates from the Live Center.
Tonight, NBC News hosts the third Republican presidential debate in Miami. This will be the smallest slate of candidates to face off on the stage this election cycle. NBC's Craig Melvin sat down with Republican National Committee Chair Ronna McDaniel to discuss what we can expect.
Facing off tonight, five Republican presidential candidates, Chris Christie, Ron DeSantis, Nikki Haley, Vivek Ramaswamy, and Tim Scott, all set to debate here in Miami. But for the third straight time, the overwhelming Republican frontrunner, former President Donald Trump, will be a no-show, instead rallying his supporters at an event just over 20 miles from the debate stage. We sat down with RNC Chair Ronna McDaniel and asked her about the former president's strategy.
Why haven't you been able to convince former President Trump to take the debate stage?
You know, he's made a strategic decision as the former president that he wasn't going to debate. I respect that choice. As a candidate, he has that right.
From his standpoint, the no debate strategy appears to be working. He's got a 40-point lead over his closest competitor. What are primary voters? What are they actually getting out of these debates if so many of them seem to be supporting the guy who won't show up for the debate?
I think the debates are about Joe Biden. I don't look at it as about being Ron DeSantis versus Donald Trump.
Mr. Trump's rivals hoping to capitalize on his absence. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis in Iowa, where this week he picked up a key endorsement from the state's popular governor, is trying to gain leverage with conservatives, pointing out Mr. Trump's history of donating to Democrats.
Trump donated to both Gavin Newsom and Kamala Harris.
Nikki Haley now battling DeSantis for second place in key early state polls. The first two debates have been contentious at times. McDaniel telling me she hopes tonight's slimmed down field will focus more on the issues. But in a week when the GOP frontrunner has been in court, she's steadfast in her support of the eventual nominee.
Will the party support a nominee who has been convicted of a felony or felonies?
We're going to support the nominee that the voters choose.
No matter what. If the nominee has been sentenced to prison.
The voters get to make a decision.
NBC Nightly News anchor Lester Holt and Meet the Press moderator Kristen Welker will moderate, along with Hugh Hewitt from the Salem Radio Network. Coverage begins tonight at 8, right here on WREL.
The final witness will get the stand today for New York's Attorney General's office in the civil fraud case against Donald Trump and his company. Ivanka Trump is that witness. She is no longer a defendant in the case, but prosecutors are likely pressing her about her role at the Trump Organization. The company is accused of overinflating its value to get more favorable rates on bank loans. The attorney general is seeking $250 million in damages and to bar Trump from doing business in the state.
Let's get you caught up on some local election results. In Durham, voters have selected their new mayor. City councilman and business owner Leonardo Williams is now the city's mayor-elect. More than 63% of voters chose him over challenger state senator Mike Woodard. Williams was first elected to Durham City Council in 2021. He will be sworn in as mayor next month. Nate Baker and Carl Rist will join the Durham City Council in at-large seats. Incumbent Javiera Caballero was also reelected. Monique Holsey-Hyman did not get the votes needed to serve another term. The city councilor faced allegations of bribery, was later cleared by the State Bureau of Investigation.
Meantime, in Fayetteville, Renee, Mitch Colvin will continue as mayor for a fourth term. He easily beat his opponent, Freddie De La Cruz. Colvin was first elected mayor in November of 2017. He's the city's longest-serving black mayor. Chapel Hill will have a new mayor as well. Jess Anderson won the race with more than 58% of the vote over challenger Adam Searing. Anderson has been a Chapel Hill Town Council member since 2015. She'll replace Pam Heminger, who chose not to run for a fifth term. You can also find out what happened in your community by going to WRL.com and on the WRL News app.
Today, leaders at UNC Chapel Hill are pushing for new safety measures after the deadly shooting on campus earlier this semester. WRL's Laura Levine explains how this could include new active shooter response training for students, faculty, and staff.
Campus security remains a top priority for university leaders, students, and staff. And some of the ideas that are being thrown out there right now is installing more security cameras here on campus and also improving the lighting along streets on campus. One Board of Trustees member I spoke with is advocating for active shooter training to now be mandatory. When the UNC campus and local schools were locked down for 3 hours as police looked for an armed and dangerous person who we now know is being accused of shooting and killing a professor, David Bullock, who has served on the board since 2019, immediately said more should be done. He shared those sentiments the day after with fellow board members through text messages stating there should be a policy that requires faculty to go through training on lockdowns. As we know, they are now meeting in person. He tells me though the university offers emergency response information and training resources to the campus community, he believes this information should be shared in a more direct way.
I believe that what we need to do is get it in front of students, make it part of orientation. Get it in front of faculty, make it part of the start of the new school year or semester, because ultimately it's about saving lives. And that type of training is very important.
University leaders and university police are working on a full debrief of that August 28th shooting. He tells me, though, that will not be presented today, but in the coming months. Laura Levine, WREO News in Chapel Hill.
A Uvalde, Texas mother whose daughter was killed in the Robb Elementary School shooting lost her bid to become mayor of the city. Kimberly Mata Rubio led the call for tougher gun laws after the mass shooting that killed her 10-year-old daughter Lexi and 18 other children. Two teachers were also killed. Voters elected former Uvalde Mayor Cody Smith. Smith's campaign did not address the failures of the police response to the Robb Elementary shooting.
Next at noon, a Fayetteville water main break floods a family out of their home and closed a road for hours. What work crews are doing to fix it?
Also, an Arkansas man is free on bond after hiding his daughter inside his home. Why police say he did it.
Plus, talk of another government shutdown. The uphill battle for Congress to find a solution with 9 days to go.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, the three giant pandas at the Smithsonian National Zoo are heading back home to China. This is a live look at the plane that they are heading back to China in. They just loaded the pandas onto the plane maybe about a minute ago. They were loaded into three shipping crates this morning, transported in their panda mobiles before being driven to Dulles International Airport, which is where you're looking live. The two oldest pandas arrived to DC's National Zoo back in 2000. But the U.S.-China panda program dates all the way back to 1972. The zoo staff are calling it a hiatus for the program, but they hope to get the pandas back. 19 hours, that is the flight time to China. They say there will be plenty of snacks on board for the panda, more than 200 pounds of bamboo to keep them happy on their journey back.
A long time since D.C. hasn't had those pandas. All right, Michelle, thank you. A water main break in Fayetteville caused road closures for hours. WRL's Kelsey Coffey explains how crews are still working on those repairs.
Crews have been working here for over 7 hours. There's a massive hole that's in the sidewalk here at the intersection of Hope's Mill and Queensdale. Just after 3 a.m., fire crews found water flowing from a water main. That water flooded at least one house in a nearby neighborhood. PwC water crews are assessing the situation. I spoke with a neighbor off camera who says the foundation of his home was flooded. He's facing thousands of dollars worth of damage. The Red Cross is assisting two people who've been forced to leave their homes because of this flooding. We're still working to learn the cause of this water main break, but we'll keep you updated as we learn more. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News in Fayetteville.
A major case involving the Second Amendment is now in the hands of the U.S. Supreme Court. A Texas man is challenging the federal law that bans people with domestic violence protective orders against them from owning a gun. In 1994, Congress passed a measure to ensure domestic violence victims could be protected from their abusers. Lawyers for Zaki Rahimi say that violates his Second Amendment rights to bear arms.
An Arkansas man who admits sealing his 5-year-old daughter in a nailed shut compartment in his house is free on bond. John Thompson faces charges including false imprisonment and endangering the welfare of a minor. Police say he did it to stop authorities from taking custody of the little girl. Police body cam shows officers opening the space and moving items while calling out to the child. She had been there for about 30 minutes and was not physically harmed. A pair of would-be robbers in Los Angeles chose the wrong house to target. Surveillance video captured the terrifying incident as a homeowner walked to the front door and two masked robbers jumped over a wall. The video shows one robber charging at the man with the gun as he goes to open the front door. The homeowner immediately drops his keys and a beverage, pulls out a concealed handgun, and then opens fire on the intruders who run away while returning fire. Police arrived a short time later, but could not find the criminals. The homeowner says his wife, their 5-month-old baby, and their nanny were inside the home at the time this all happened. No injuries were reported.
That could have been much worse. Police in San Bernardino made a shocking discovery while investigating a squatter case. They found two young alligators measuring about 2.5 feet long. Loki and Sylvie are doing well and are now being held in quarantine while the sanctuary raises money to build them a more permanent home. No word on their owner.
2023 is on track to be the warmest year ever. October is now the fifth straight month that global temperatures have hit record highs. Scientists say the average temperature last month was 3.1 degrees Fahrenheit higher compared to a period in the late 1800s. The group says besides air temperatures rising, ocean temperatures are also soaring. That has triggered more violent hurricanes and tropical storms around the planet. Well, we have quiet weather here, although we're not going to see a record high today, just a little below that. Tomorrow, there could be a chance for that.
Yeah, all this isn't doing much to help, especially around here. And Elizabeth Gardner in the WRAL Severe Weather Center, it's extending golf season, though.
It is. You know, there are a lot of things that people like about the warm weather, certainly. And getting outside to enjoy the weather is definitely one of those. We're on track for the warmest year ever at RDU. I'm going to show you those stats coming up in just a few minutes. But I mean, it's hard to argue with the beautiful day that we're seeing right now. 75 degrees currently. It's a live look, of course, at Longleaf Golf and Family Club there in Southern Pines. We'll climb to 78 degrees for this afternoon, which feels very pleasant with that dew point at 49. Our humidity is low. It's sunny. It's just a very comfortable feel outside right now. Southern Pines, 77, 77 Fayetteville, 74 in Rocky Mount, and 70 degrees currently up in South Hill and in Roxborough. Again, looking at a high of 78 today in Raleigh, 77 in Durham, and 81 in Fayetteville. We take a look at what's happening across the country right now. Typically, of course, we have warmer temperatures in the south and cooler temperatures to the north. This front that's sort of bisecting the country, you know, has some ups and downs with it. But of course, this side of the front is going to be cooler than this side. 49 in New York right now and 75 in Raleigh. So here's what's been happening for today. We've had that front dip down into North Carolina, just kind of cracking the door open to some slightly cooler temperatures. Yesterday, it looked like we could climb back into the low 80s, which might have broken a record high. But today, with that door sort of cracked open, we'll likely keep it in the upper 70s, probably not going to hit that record high, but we'll be very close to it. Tomorrow, that front pushes back to the north, allowing a lot of warmth to surge all the way back in and bump those temperatures back into the 80s. This is the front that's going to change everything for the weekend. It zips right on past us and settles down to our south. We'll be on the chilly side of that front starting on Friday and into the first half of next week. We'll also have the potential for some scattered light rain. You can see those green colors over us during the day on Friday are are very faint. That means that we're not likely to see a whole lot of rain. We take a look at Saturday, and we're going to take a closer look and talk about that. But it looks like it's going to be fairly dry for us over the weekend. Again, today's high 78. The previous record today was 80, set back in 1986. It's still possible that we would get there. And then for tomorrow, 81 degrees. But of course, the record is 83. So not as likely to see records for today and tomorrow, but it's not completely out of the question. We're close to it. Football Friday. Again, things are going to feel different for us on Friday. Highs will be in the 60s at Football Friday time. Temperatures will be dropping into the 50s. It'll be cloudy and a little drizzly. It's not going to be a heavy rain. I wouldn't expect it to be the kind of rain that they would cancel football games for, but it just might be, you know, a little bit more uncomfortable, especially compared to what we've seen this week. We'll see a high on Friday of 68, Saturday 60, and 59 on Sunday. Those temperatures are actually below normal. A normal high is somewhere in the middle, right about 65 degrees. We could see temperatures climbing well above normal again for the following week, toward the end of the week, looking at the 15th through the 21st with the potential for above normal temperatures again. And as I mentioned, we are looking right now at the warmest year to date on record at RDU. We'll see how things pan out during December, whether it continues or not. But right now, the average temperature is 66, and that's about 2.5 degrees warmer than normal. All right, so we take a look at the weekend. The weekend looks cooler. We'll continue to see that for Monday and Tuesday. We'll talk more about Friday's rainfall totals coming up.
Elizabeth, thanks. Cases of syphilis in babies are on the rise. So much so, U.S. public health officials are raising concern. Today at 4, what we know so far about the potentially life-threatening infection and what can be done to stop the surge in cases.
And at 5:30, we are getting an inside look at the new Energy Control Center in Raleigh. WRAL walks through it and takes you on a tour of the new facility. Well, still ahead this new, Waze is introducing a new way to keep you safe on the roads. Coming up, we'll show you the new feature revealed to help navigate your way around the roads.
Plus, airlines want to protect you from scammers on social media. The new warning that's pushing the effort.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, an armed man was shot and killed by Mooresville police outside Lake Norman Regional Medical Center earlier this morning. Police were called to the scene around 3:45 this morning regarding an individual who told hospital staff he was planning to harm himself in the facility parking lot. Robert William Berry is his name. And when police got there, they say they saw him outside his vehicle. They issued commands for him to drop the gun. Officers had to respond, injuring him. He later died.
Waze is launching a new safety feature to prep you for the roads. The navigation company will add a new alert that warns drivers when they're coming up on a road prone to crashes. The app feature will generate a crash history, including major and minor accidents, to help keep drivers alert. Users can access the feature now by going to their settings and clicking reports.
Nike is suing two of its top rivals. The athletic company is accusing New Balance and Skechers of patent infringements. The recent lawsuits claim the brands copied its Flyknit technology process for making the tops of sneakers. Nike says the signature innovation has been used for 40 years and competitors are disregarding its patent. The complaint comes after similar settlements in the past against Adidas and Puma. Scammers are looking for your travel troubles on social media. A Wall Street Journal reports scammers posing as airlines are becoming more common. The report says some fraudsters are replying to flyer social media posts with similar handles and profile pictures as the airlines. Some flights are warning travelers to check for communication updates on the company's official social media accounts.
Time is winding down for House Republicans to come up with a plan to avoid a government shutdown. This old problem facing the new speaker.
Plus, only 47 days until Christmas. So who is at the top of your list? What a new survey reveals about who shoppers are spending their cash on this holiday season. And you could get a lot more cash if you happen to win a jackpot. Here's a look at the winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Congress has 9 days to prevent a potential government shutdown. So far, House Republicans have not presented a concrete plan to keep things running. John Lawrence explains why any proposal could face an uphill battle.
Washington, D.C. is once again facing a possible financial collapse.
We certainly want to avoid a government shutdown. It's a dangerous time around the world right now. We recognize that, and we're doing our job.
Speaker Mike Johnson and GOP lawmakers in the House went through a series of ideas Tuesday, including a short-term spending bill through January 19th.
Many options that are on the table, and we'll be revealing what our plan is in short order.
If some Republicans in the House are against any sort of short-term spending bill, Johnson would need Democratic support, and that might be an uphill climb.
They want to default on our debt, shut down the government, crash the economy, censure Democrats, and avoid holding their own members accountable. This is who they are.
A government shutdown occurs when Congress doesn't pass funding for the federal government without something like a short-term bill. That could cause many problems for the country, including the halting of construction projects and disruptions in food safety inspections. Johnson has until November 17th to deal with his conference, the Democratic-controlled Senate, and the Biden White House.
Bipartisanship is the word. Just one side passing a bill just with one party and sending it over is not going to be a very, very good way to move things forward.
That was John Lawrence reporting. According to professional services firm Ernst & Young, the U.S. would have lost $6 billion per week had Congress not prevented a government shutdown earlier this year.
Now to the war in Israel, where troops are deep inside Gaza City, taking the fight to Hamas. Going block by block, clearing the area of Hamas fighters and closing off countless tunnels used for ambush attacks. As the Israeli Defense Force pushes farther into the city, the pace of civilian evacuations is picking up. Many say they've been walking for days. The U.S. is advocating for what it calls a humanitarian pause in order to get aid into Gaza and foreign civilians out. Israel and its allies say a ceasefire is off the table for now. Tonight, five Republican presidential candidates will face off in Miami for their third debate. NBC's Kristen Welker shared the significance of the GOP debate taking place in Florida.
It will be interesting to see to what extent does Governor DeSantis, do the other candidates on stage really try to train their sights on former President Trump? Governor Ron DeSantis will look to have a strong performance. It is his home state, after all. But the other candidates also looking for a breakout moment with the Iowa caucuses just about 2 months away.
News anchor Lester Holt joins Meet the Press moderator Kristen Welker for tonight's face-off. They'll be joined by Hugh Hewitt from the Salem Radio Network. Tune in to WRAL at 8 o'clock.
We want to get you back to more election results now. There was a seat up for grabs on the Cary Town Council. Sarika Bansal narrowly leads Rachel Jordan for the seat on Council District D by 67 votes. There were four bonds on the ballot for voters in Wake County. We start in Fuquay-Varina with the Parks and Recreation Bond. That did not pass. And in Holly Springs, a Parks and Recreation Bond was also on the ballot. Voters approved that one. Over in Wendell, there were two bonds on the ballot. First, the Wendell Parks and Rec Bond, which more voters said yes. And Wendell residents also had their say about a transportation bond that got overwhelming support. 70% of voters approved that bond.
New this noon, the state just released the COVID numbers, the latest ones that track the impact of the virus and what it's having across North Carolina. WRO's Ken Smith joins us now with the new information and what those numbers show, Ken.
You know, Jeff, the state released that data just minutes ago. This information includes the number of people currently hospitalized statewide. It also tracks wastewater to detect the rate by which the virus is spreading. Now, by the numbers, there was a slight uptick in the average number of patients hospitalized with COVID compared to a week ago, currently at 459. Similarly, wastewater data shows just a slight uptick statewide as well. Now, at this hour, former state health secretary and current CDC director, Dr. Mandy Cohen, is holding a briefing about the Biden administration's COVID response ahead of the holidays. Look for new reporting on the major takeaways from that briefing starting at 4 right here on WREL.
Ken, thanks for that update.
The first pill cleared by the FDA to treat postpartum depression may be too expensive for the thousands of women who need it. One in eight women suffer from the condition, which makes it difficult for moms to bond with their baby. The FDA approved Zurzuvae to treat the condition, but it costs nearly $16,000 for a 14-day dose. It's not clear yet if insurance will cover the cost. An IV version of the medication is available, but it must be administered in the hospital over the course of 60 hours at an even higher cost of $35,000. Your child's poor sleep habits may be genetic. New research found kids genetically predisposed to insomnia had more sleep issues. It's the first study providing evidence that being a poor sleeper can also be found early in life. Experts say it's important to establish good sleep hygiene from an early age, and that means making sure kids have a dark, comfortable bedroom and that they finish eating a few hours before bedtime.
A watchdog group is calling for new safeguards on digital wallets and payments. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau says major companies like Apple, Alphabet, and PayPal should be under bank-like supervision. The proposal includes inspections on the company's privacy protections conducted from executives and compliance with laws. Now, this holiday season, shoppers may be buying themselves more gifts this year. A new holiday survey reveals 64% of Black Friday or Cyber Monday shoppers surveyed plan to make purchases for themselves or their households. Of those looking to buy for themselves, 34% say they've been looking for products they use every day. Meanwhile, 29% say they'll be looking for big ticket items they've been saving for.
We're honoring one of Durham's best for our Teacher of the Week. What keeps her motivated after almost a decade of teaching?
Attention Walmart shoppers. We'll explain how the retailer plans to make the shopping experience less raucous and more inclusive. You can download the WRL News app to stay up to date on stories that matter to you right on your streaming devices.
Our Teacher of the Week is Durham Public Schools Teacher of the Year.
WRL's Brian Schrader surprises an educator who gives her students a taste of life in college.
You can see that English is not boring in Jahara Davis's classroom at Hillside High School in Durham. This North Carolina Central University graduate never thought she'd become a teacher.
I come from a long line of teachers, but I just knew I was going to be a lawyer. I just knew it.
But Davis found her calling in the classroom. She says her time as a substitute teacher was eye-opening.
What I realized, there was a lack of representation. I was either the only Black teacher and I was a sub. And that made no sense to me.
Davis has been teaching now for 9 years, and she says her students keep her coming back.
We just have that relationship, and they yearn for me, and I yearn for them, and I'm so glad I get to teach these kids every single day.
Now, this is Hillside High School, but when she's here, it's Village University, and she is Professor Davis, giving students a taste of their options after high school.
And I hope it inspires them to go to college and to go into a career, because you got this small HBCU experience while being in my classroom at Village University.
Yes. You're WRL's Teacher of the Week. Congratulations.
Oh,
round of applause.
I'm Brian Schrader, WRAL News.
Now that's the reaction. If you would like to nominate a teacher, go to WRL.com and enter Teacher of the Week in the search box.
Love the genuine surprise. An art museum is proving that beauty is in the eye of the beholder and that it can improve your mood. The device that's helping visitors see how art can boost mental health.
Plus, starting Friday, you'll notice a difference at Walmart stores across the nation. The effort to make the shopping experience more inclusive. Live look this noon right now at the Whirligigs in Wilson. Not much of a breeze there, although you can find it in some places out there this afternoon as you watch WRL News, available on YouTube TV and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device.
When was the last time you went to an art museum? Some neuroscientists say it might be the perfect place to help you get a positive boost to your mental health. Gary Baumgarten takes a look at the unique project helping people see the impacts of art on their brains.
The National Institutes of Health says rates of anxiety and depression have only increased since the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic. And while there's growing calls to make mental health care more accessible and affordable, a new project is highlighting the positive effects visiting an art museum can have on our mood.
Engaging with art is potentially a very good thing for our well-being.
The Courtauld Gallery in London is using special headsets, letting visitors see how their brains react in real time when they look at paintings that they think are beautiful.
If you find beauty in a piece of art, that engages the part of your brain toward the front there, and that part coincides with regions that are usually targeted in sort of clinical treatments for things like depression, and it's also a seat of other signals for reward and pleasure and the concept of the self.
Previous research has also found that our brains release a neurotransmitter called dopamine when we view something we find attractive. The Cleveland Clinic says dopamine can make us feel good.
It's a great way to bridge the worlds of science and art.
A recent study commissioned by Art Fund, a British-based charity organization, found
95% of people agree that going into an art gallery and looking at beautiful art is good for us. But what we found is that 4 in 10 people actually only go once a year or less.
That was Gary Baumgarten reporting. Officials hope the headsets can shed light on how art benefits our brains.
Starting Friday, all Walmart stores will have sensory-friendly shopping hours. Earlier in the year, Walmart tested out quiet hours in an effort to be more inclusive to those with sensory disabilities. The company says since then it has received positive feedback from customers to bring it back permanently. So between 8 a.m. and 10 a.m., the overhead radio will be off, lights will dim, the TVs will display still pictures. Soon you won't need to wait until July to see sunflowers at Dick's Park because 2 power poles in Dick's Park are getting a makeover. Dick's Park Conservancy is working with Duke Energy to turn these massive steel structures into sunflowers. The poles will feature 47 steel petals. The power poles are on the east side of Dick's Park on Lake Wheeler Road. Raleigh-based artist Thomas Sayre is working on the design. Private donations will pay for the $2.5 million cost of those new poles. Sunflowers all year round.
Yeah, very creative. Love that they're sticking with the sunflower theme.
Right.
But this season we're seeing mums, you know, those are all in bloom. Although now's I'm sure the they're confused with the temperatures.
Yeah. A little bit, no doubt.
Yeah, gorgeous out there. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRO Severe Weather Center. Hope people are taking advantage and having lunch outside.
I hope so too, because the temperature is perfect. I was out there just a few hours ago and it just feels so nice. We take a live look at Goldsboro, at Apex. I was thinking we might see a bunch of people walking downtown. I'm sure we just missed them. Same thing here in Chapel Hill. Yeah, there are plenty of people walking up and down Franklin Street right now, enjoying that beautiful sunshine from courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. And of course, Fayetteville, right in front of our newsroom there on Hay Street, looking absolutely beautiful. High pressure has kept things nice and dry for us for the last week or so, at least this particular high. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the newscast, we do have this northeasterly flow because we had this front dip down over us. And that's going to keep our temperatures in the upper 70s to around 80 this afternoon. Tomorrow, it lifts northward and we get back into more of a southwesterly flow easily, bumping us into the 80s. But we'll also see increasing clouds during the afternoon. There's lunchtime on Thursday, and you can see those clouds really thickening up. The cold front sweeps through during the evening, and we'll have the potential for some light rain on Saturday. That pauses us right there at about 6 p.m., and the amount of rain looks very, very light. We'll roll through Saturday as well, because you may have outdoor plans, lots of football games, of course, on Saturday. It looks cloudy and cool with a northerly wind, but it doesn't look wet. We take a look at Futurecast, and it looks all dry. What we're watching for Sunday is to see if there's going to be a low that develops down here off the coast. This version of Futurecast keeps all that moisture well to our south, but at least one more version does start to swing some of that moisture up late Sunday into Monday. Right now, this version is showing some cloud cover for much of Sunday, but then beginning to clear. But Sunday, again, you know, we'll keep checking back if you have Sunday plans. We'll see how the models continue to handle that as we get closer to Sunday. Take a look. This is our first run through 8 p.m. of the short-range models, the high-resolution models for Friday. Take a look at how little rain we're going to see. Boy, we need some rain, but if you have outdoor plans, you know, it's going to be cool cooler and cloudy, but it doesn't look very wet. Here's 8 a.m. on Friday. It looks like the morning commute is dry. By the time we get to lunchtime, we start to see a band of rain back to the west, but it almost falls apart over us. At 2 o'clock, a little band of rain that comes through and lasts until around 4 o'clock. So maybe a couple of hours of sprinkles, and then that looks like about it. So we have a 30% chance for Friday. It's a 20% chance on Saturday and Sunday. It's just there almost as a placeholder because the models have been so back and forth about what may happen. But right now, we're definitely trending drier for Saturday and Sunday. Here's a look at our potential rainfall for Friday. Again, it's really low. It's, you know, less than a tenth of an inch, a few hundredths of an inch. So this is not going to help us at all in terms of our drought situation. We are definitely in need of some rain. So far for the fall season, we've had a little over 7.5 inches of rain, which puts us at 1.5 inches below. And for the year, it's over 36 inches, but that's also 3.5 inches behind for the year. So we could use some rain, but what we'll see Friday looks really minimal. After that, it's chilly into early next week and dry.
Thanks, Elizabeth. How much would you be willing to pay for a Jeep that's nearly 80 years old? The impressive resume that could help justify its price tag.
And here you're winning Mega Millions numbers on your screen right now. We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we are following for you today. Two Robinson County Sheriff's deputies are recovering after authorities say a man shot them. We are told this afternoon that deputies Jonathan Walters and Kaylin Locklear are still in stable condition. WRO's Eric Miller is speaking with Locklear's father about what happened and how he is dealing with the situation. He'll have that story on our evening news.
Durham police are investigating two separate crime scenes that left three people injured. Officers received a shot spotter alert in the 900 block of East Main Street. When officers got there, they found a male victim with gunshot wounds on Dale Street. Officers found two more victims shot in the 1100 block of East Main Street.
Voters in Durham elected a new mayor. City councilman and business owner Leonardo Williams is now the city's mayor-elect. More than 63% of voters chose him over challenger State Senator Mike Woodard. Williams was first elected to Durham City Council in 2021. He'll be sworn in as mayor next month. We have all the results from yesterday's elections on WRL.com.
Places across our state are offering some perks for military members on Veterans Day. The National Park Service is waiving all entrance fees. You will still have to pay for services like camping, boat launches, or special tours. There are more than 400 national park sites across the country, including 13 here in North Carolina. Now, if you prefer the zoo over a trip to a national park, the North Carolina Zoo has a deal for veterans already underway. Now through November 12th, veterans and other military personnel can get into the zoo for free. You can also bring a guest for free as well. Just show your military ID at the admissions booth.
A World War II-era Jeep is hitting the auction block on Veterans Day. This 1944 Jeep was featured in Band of Brothers and Saving Private Ryan. The Jeep had three owners before receiving a full engine rebuild earlier this year. It's expected to sell for between $22,000 and $27,000, less than the base price of a 2024 Jeep Wrangler.
For today's pet of the day, we have Queen Anne. Anne was adopted as a kitten in 2017, but was returned after her owner went into hospice. She was very confused and scared, but is now loving snuggles and the armchair life again. Head scratches on her exquisitely marked calico head are sure to bring her pure bliss. If you think you're a perfect fit for this sweet girl, fill out an application on the Cat Angels website.
The National Zoo's panda program is ending after 50 years. DC is saying goodbye to the beloved bears today as they return to China. Why rising tensions between the two superpowers may threaten one of the most popular attractions at American zoos.
Time for us to get outside. NBC News Daily is next on WRAL. Your next local news update in 30 minutes.
And get breaking news updates anytime on our app.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.